Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Generali Preliminary 2016 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gian Maria Mossa, General Manager of Banca Generali. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning and welcome to our full year conference call. Let's say that, as usual, we will start with the key figures and key facts of 2016, a quick overview of our P&L, and then a deep insight of the single item. The last part of the conference call will be focused on our strategy for 2017. So 2016 was for us a very important year because, first of all, we completed our strategy with the full implementation of our wrapper solution, so in terms of product, and we complete also our wealth management approach. So thanks to this acceleration on our strategy, we succeed in increasing our inflows due to stronger recruitment activity and important inflows from our existing financial networks. The inflows were very focused on managed product, and the last part of the year, as we will see later, the focus and the attention on the traditional insurance product reduced significantly. Thanks to the stabilization of the financial market as well, 2006 allowed us to reach also new high in terms of total assets with more than 47 billion euro. The really good news regards wrappers that in less than 3 years from the first launch reached already 7 billion euro. Moving to the bottom line numbers, I think that despite a very difficult market, financial market environment, so a lower contribution of performance fee and strong inflows, so a cost to financing this important growth, we succeed in reaching almost 160 million euro thanks to strong support from core revenues and in particular management fees. Cost discipline is continued and the numbers are in line with our guidelines. Moreover, we succeed in strengthening our capital position with the total capital ratio at 18.4%, and we will propose to the AGM a dividend per share of 1.07 that equals to a 80% of payout ratio. So moving to page 4, a quick overview of our P&L. First good news, you see that net financial income almost stabilized thanks to an expansion of the client deposits. In the total banking income results for 402.8 million euro, where the increase in fee expense is mainly explained by the strong activity from recruitment. As I said, total cost in line with the guidelines, and as you can see at point 4, we had the provision fell quite sharply because, as you remember, in 2015 we were 2 one-off items, so provision at 35 million. So as a result, net profit 155.9. Let's see the single items of our P&L, page 6. I think that from the net interest income we have several good news. First of all, I think that we have bottom out 58.7 million euro, and they say that the stabilization of the interest rate plus they say the expansion of the client's deposit make me confident for 2017. In terms of trading and dividend, we delivered very good results. thanks to, of course, a reduction of interest rate, at least in the first part of 2016, and a very active strategy during political events, you know, during, for example, Brexit or the US election, we managed actively our portfolio. The best news comes from management fees, up to 492 million euro, while the other fees overall are down 20 million. But again, also from this side, I can see positive indication, in particular from the fourth quarter results. performance fee was the main detractor of the net banking income, and the total contribution almost half in 2016. Fee expense we already commented. So let's see more in deep the single components. So page 7, net interest income, as we said, is stabilized, just a little bit lower, 60 million euro. And the banking book amount to 5.3 billion with 400 million of LTRO contribution. We continue to approach in a very prudent way our banking book with 90% investing mainly in bonds, with most of the portfolio, almost 60% investing floating, and the duration close to 2%. Lending activity is almost stable at 1.7. This is due to several factors. First of all, we reduce some concentration on corporate clients and in favor of individuals. And second, we say that commercial banks in 2006 were very aggressive. So, as you know, this is an ancillary service. We are pretty confident to start raising again in 2017, but the focus is on the collateralized activity. So this will be the focus also for 2017. Page 8. So recurring fees. Recurring fees are our core business, as you know, and in the left chart you can see a very solid and constant growth. 2017, I think that will be even more important, this acceleration, because as you can see, most of the growth for 2016 came from the management fee, and while front fee and banking fee were at the lowest level of the last few years. So total recurring fees at 537 million euro. And as I said, this is due to several factors, but the most important is the focus on wrappers solution. On the right side of the page, variable fees. As you know, in absolute terms, 67 million is our second best data for the last 5 years, but in relative terms, is probably the lowest one. Here you can see that the contribution of performance fee on total gross fee is at 11%, that is the lowest level. Page 9 focused on the breakdown of margin, and let's start from the management fee margin, 1.12. This is in line with our guidelines. This is the target that we want to aim at for 2017. And is driven and will be driven by an increasing favorable product mix. So we are very focused on rethinking of our product mix and focusing more and more on wrapper solution. Entry fees margin bottom out in 2016, 4 basis points, and again this almost of these of numbers due to the uncertainty and the volatility of the market and the low yield environment. Banking fee is a little bit lower than 2015, but we saw a strong activity in the trading, both for retail and institutional, so good sign for the last part of the year, as we will see in a few minutes. Performance fee margin at the lowest level of the last 5 years, as we already said, 0.15, so 15 basis points on the total assets with performance fee. I think that is very useful now, focusing on the quarterly data to understand the trend, and page 10 starts from management fees. I think that we must be very proud about the results of the last quarter, 130 million euro of management fee, that is almost 10% higher than the last quarter, the fourth quarter of 2015. And you know, the first quarter of 2016 was very difficult from a market perspective. So to see an increase of 10% let us very confident on what can happen in 2017. On average, the margin in the quarter is close to 0.28, that is in line with our historical average, and again is our target for 2017 as well. Page 11, entry fees, 4.6 million euro. Here there is an upward trend, is due mainly to front fee. If you compare this number with the fourth quarter of 2015, you can see that is lower, but it's due to the fact that in 2015 we launched a structured product. Excluding the structured product, this quarter was the best of the last six. So this is due mainly to asset expansion, and I think that we can confirm this trend for 2017. The really good news comes from banking fee. Banking fee up to 9.2 million, where 60% comes from trading fees, and of which almost 50% of retail. This is linked to the launch of GP Solution and the acceleration of numbers of GP Solution, because as you know, there is strong trading activities inside the wrapper, and the launch of private insurance on the ETF side that again help us to increase the banking fees overall. So, and again, on this item, I think that we can think of a double-digit growth for 2017. Last graph of the page, performance fees, 14.4 million euro. Let's say that this year the start was great, or at least let's say that in 1 month we reached 10 million of performance fees, so it's a good result for us and good result in terms of total performance for our client. As I said in the last conference call, we are working for a new platform, a new SICAV platform that we will launch during the autumn, where we will change for the new inflows the performance fee mechanism. And we will give disclosure the next conference call on the concept of the new platform, the new SICAV. Okay, let's see now the other side of the coins. So cost, in line with our guidelines, 3.8 higher than on year-on-year basis. Let's say that if we exclude some one-off items and our contribution, increasing contribution to the resolution of the banking crisis, the numbers are very, very strong and underline strong discipline in terms of cost. Non-sales personal costs almost stable, and you remember that here is included a one-off for the former CEO. Sales personal cost is slightly lower than 2015, and you know we announced in the last conference call the hiring of very top private bankers, and so you know the effect of the cost of recruitment in the provision. And the total cost of the relationship is reducing thanks to the migration of very, very senior relationship manager to agent contracts. So consider that our top two relations manager decided to approach the, let's say, the mandate, so to move to the financial advisor network. And this is a really good news also from a recruitment perspective, because it's a sort of benchmark for all the private bankers of competitors. The contribution for the resolution of the banking increasing and deposit scheme slightly higher than our expectation, so, and in line with 2015, so 8.2 million. Depreciation is in line with our guidelines, while few words on general expenses. Three considerations. The first one is that, of course, there is an higher contribution of IT expenditure. As you know, we are changing the bank, transforming the bank, and we are driving the change thanks to digitalization and change of approach. And of course, the variable costs linked to financial advisor network are increasing. For example, think of the offices and stuff like that, so logistics cost mainly. And then there are some one-off items that, you know, when we change the organization in the second quarter of 2016. For 2017, the guidelines will be for an increase in the range 2-4%. And let's say that the spread between 2 and 4 depends on, in part at least, the contribution for the banking crisis. So let's see what happens from that part. I very appreciate page number 13, because it gives you an idea of what we mean with cost discipline. We have a cost income, let's say, adjusted for the extraordinary components at 41.7%. That is the second data ever for the bank. And of course, in 2015, we know that there was a strong contribution performance fee that diluted the numbers. While on the right, you can see operating cost out of total assets, and for my knowledge, this is the best data in the sector. So 0.37 per total assets. So to give you the conclusion of the first chapter, I think that 2017 will be a strong year in terms of core revenues. We all hope that performance fee will contribute more than 2016, and we continue to be very focused on cost discipline, both concerning personal cost and G&A. Page 15, let's see dividend. As we said, we propose 1.07, and this implies a payout ratio of 80%. And as you know, we have a sort of guidelines to keep the payout ratio in the range 60%-80%. And depends on mainly, of course, several factors. And one of these ones is very important, is the contribution of performance fee. This year, performance fee were lower than historical level, so we decided to increase the payout ratio. And we will see that this is happened also because we optimized our risk weight adjusted thanks to a specific project that frees some capital and so allowed us to distribute more capital as a dividend. And page 16, you see the capital ratios, all well above regulatory requirements. CET1 ratio 16.7, total capital ratio, as we already said, 18.4, and excess capital amount to 262 million euro. The leverage ratio slightly lower at 5% due to the expansion of client deposit and the part of the leverage for the book, the banking book. And just to spend a few words on the guidelines in terms of dividend policy, I'm very focused to stabilize the the dividend payout ratio, first of all in absolute terms, to keep a smooth path of growth of the dividend. And we are working on some more optimization from risk-weight adjusted consideration in order to free more, even more capital. From the commercial perspective, and I'm at slide number 18, and I can see only very strong good news. Net inflows very solid, well balanced, between 55 and 60% comes from existing structure, 40 to 45% from recruitment. This is our targets for 2017 as well. And I think that if you focus your attention of the graph at the bottom of the page, you understand that something is changing. Now we count for more, for almost 20% of the total inflows of Assoreti, so of asset gathering industry, with an acceleration in the last few years, almost doubling the result of 2011. And a better way to see this widening capacity to produce numbers, we can focus on page 19, where we organized a table on three main clusters: sector, so Assoreti, excluding Banca Generali and Intesa Private Banking for like-for-like basis. Second, the top five players, ex-BG, and then Banca Generali. And we analyze total assets, assets per financial advisors, and net inflows. Assets and assets per financial advisors are worked out on September numbers, while net inflows on December numbers. And as you can see, starting from assets, double digit for Banca Generali, plus 15%, assets per financial advisor, you know that we are best in class with a starting point in 2016 at 23.2, now 25.2, plus 2 million, the highest increase of the financial advisor sectors, industry, and then net inflows. I already said that in my view the sector has already toppled in 2015, and now it will be more difficult to confirm the numbers, the historical numbers, because you know the bank increasing is sobering out slowly, but as we can see, I think that we will see the end or stabilization at least, and the business model will lead the difference. So, sector, on a year-on-year basis, minus 5, so 5% lower of 2015, top 5% lower than 2015, we are up 22%. That it sounds to me like a different, very different story. And as you know, the January numbers were good, and February probably even better. Let's focus on the net inflows and the product mix. And in 2006, we can divide it into two main periods. The first one, the first 6 months, where we had strong inflows, but mainly focused on, in traditional insurance product and administrated assets, and then a strong focus on asset management product and wrappers. And if you see, you look at the graph on the right, you can see the bar. Look at, for example, the yellow, that is the traditional. You know that we have always used the traditional life policies for in order to create the opportunity for new inflows. And we succeed keeping a very strong data of inflows, reducing the contribution of traditional life policies. In the last quarter was 13% of the total inflows, compared to 40% in the first quarter. So the focus is a different proposition and approaching the client not just with traditional insurance policies, but directly thanks to the wrapper solution. And about wrapper solution, page 21, you can see the acceleration of the inflows. first quarter, 311. At the end of March, we launched GP Solution, the wrapper solution in the asset management industry, and from that moment, an acceleration of numbers, with the last quarter at 900 million euro. And January confirmed this data. You know, the result was of 350 million euro in wrappers. On the right, you can see the assets, the stocks. We started in March 2014 with 2.2 billion, and now we have reached the 7 billion level. Staying on assets, page 22, you see our traditional representation. So, current account up from 3.6 to 5.3. This significant increase is due a shift from the traditional investment in bonds, in treasury, with a low maturity, maintaining the liquidity directly in the current account. Security accounts, flat in absolute term, in relative terms a lower contribution, you see, 13% on total assets. And again, this is due to a lower investment in lower investment in the bond market. Traditional insurance product almost flat in terms of total contribution to total assets. But as I said, in the second part of the year, we slow down the activity on this product, and I'm confident to see a minor contribution for 2017. Managed solution, 21.5 billion euro, and here we can see the one of the best news. The multi-line insurance and portfolio management lines counted for almost 50%. At the end of 2015, where the data was 42%. So, again, a transformation of traditional asset management products in guided products, in wrappers products. And we are confident to exceed 50% in 2017. A quick analysis on our Luxembourg platform as well. You know, I'm very focused, we are all focused on sustainability. And for us, sustainability means to have a very well-diversified portfolio with our platform that counts for 25, 24, 26%, no more, with a steady growth in absolute term and a progressive lower contribution in absolute in relative terms. So total assets in Luxembourg are at 12.5 billion, so up 700 million compared year on year, but in relative terms, you see that the weight moved from 28 to 26, and so more diversified portfolio. And the second good news is that we are working to transform, to switch retail products to institutional share classes. So the graph at the right of the slide emphasizes the incredible job that we are doing reducing our retail classes to in favor of institutional classes as underlying of our wrapper solution. Now the share classes underlying the wrapper solution counts for almost 50%, and at the end of 2015 was 42%. So now let's go to the next page. I think that the slide speaks for itself. Strong recruitment activity. In 2016, we closed with 161 new financial advisors. I think that this is a very strong number, but I don't think that it's sustainable in the medium term, because there is a bias. It's due to the banking crisis. We are confident to recruit around 100 financial advisors for 2017, and depending on the the speed with which the resolution of the banking will arrive, or will stabilize at least the sector. Almost 122 financial advisors comes from traditional banking sector. Okay, so in terms of inflows, good start for January, confirmation from February, very good numbers on wrapper solution, and I think that we will speed up. If I have to give him our guidelines in terms of inflows, I would say that we will stay in the range of 3-4 billion euro, where, of course, 4 billion euro for us is a sort of floor. And again, depends on the banking crisis resolution. And we will see the path of growth, I think, in March and April would be a good guideline for the full year. January and February will be a little bit dragged by the continuity of the crisis in for most and for some topic events for the banking industry. So in absolute term, I think that will be a little bit more difficult, confirming the numbers of 2016. In relative terms, I think that we will speed up. Because if I think to 2017, and I'm approaching the last chapter of the presentation, page 26, the idea is to execute. That it means that we are at the final phase of the implementation of our repositioning, of our new strategy. Three main pillars, very important. The first one is the rollout of the new advisory contract that is 1 year ahead of MiFID II introduction, and as we will see, for us this is a pillar of our strategy. Second, we have to increase the penetration of wrappers, we have to speed up. We see the great success from recruitment. We think that is the right answer for the uncertainty and the diversification and the risk control of the clients. Third, we have to reap the benefit of the wealth management approach. It works really. It works from a recruitment perspective and probably even more from existing financial advisor network. Page 27, MiFID, so the first pillar. In November, we concluded the rollout of the new advisory contract. Let's say that is for all the clients. It's a sort of basic contract. And then there is an addendum that allows the client, the financial advisors to apply a fee on top or a fee-only approach. And we launched the service on Monday, this Monday, so 5 days ago, and we haven't we decided to go very slow on these topics, no budget, no indication, because our priority is to lead the change in the culture, in the approach to the clients. We want to be ready for the beginning of 2018, where we will accelerate from this perspective. Let's say that we are doing, of course, an ongoing fine-tuning, and we are waiting to understand and to have a full comprehension of the MiFID. And since I think that it's very important to us that you have a deep insight of what it means with advisory services, what MiFID imply, we will organize in the third quarter 2017 an investor days focus 100% of MiFID and on our advisory approach with a concrete example of how we work with our clients, both in terms of services and products. So we will give you the data. We are waiting to have some more response on information on MiFID. Page 28, strong confirmation. What you can see, page 28, let's start from the right. We know that the wrapper solution like to new recruitment, the new colleagues. Almost 60% of the new colleagues have more than 20% invested in wrapper solution, even if they are transforming the portfolio and very, very focused on inflows. So despite the fact that they are very focused on transferring the assets, we start implementing the new strategy with 60% with more than 20% of total assets in wrappers. And the average is almost 30% of total portfolio. So for the new colleagues, 30% of the assets are invested in wrappers. For the existing colleagues, the percentage is much lower. On average, the wrapper solution count for 14%, and only 30% of the colleagues, existing financial advisors, work with more than 20% of wrappers. So the first goal for the bank will be in the next 24 months to close this gap, and we are pretty sure that there is a relevant potential that we estimate close to 6 billion on top of the, let's say, ongoing activity. So first pillar is advisory services, fee on top, fee only. This is a question of culture, of approach. We are very focused to the trainee activities, and the focus will be in 2018. In 2017, we will go to full speed with the wrappers. We launch a very interesting new wrappers in an alternative world, new lines, and I think that we will give you disclosure in the next conference call of the success of this initiative. Next page, the last one, we have some consideration on wealth management. We have clusterized our financial advisors in three main clusters. The first one, the bottom, are the beginners, the ones that start slowly with the comprehension of the new approach. We started using the technology, the new platform, the new services. The second cluster that is in the range, in the middle of the way, and let's say that we are accelerating their knowledge of the platforms, of the approach, and then we have the pilot, the first that started, that we call the top. They say that the top counts for 17%, the second cluster 30%, and the last 53%. Some numbers. 17% of financial advisors are already at full speed on our wealth management approach. This means that 2 out of 3 of them are net inflows higher than 1 million, on average 2.3 million, and 1.8 in wrappers. Let's see the base, the beginner, almost halved. 37% of financial advisors with more than 1 million, on average 1.4, and of which 0.8 of wrappers. So it means that when you understand the approach and you can approach your clients, existing or new, with these new solutions, of course the inheritance approach, the succession planning, helps to provide solution with the insurance wrappers. How to diversify the portfolio is support the GP solution, and the new approach raised the bar. Our financial advisor are approaching top clients, and this is the result: stronger inflows. So the main difference and behind the gap us and as the asset gathering industry is the fact that we have a different value proposition. You know, our mission is to be the first private bank in Italy in terms of quality of products, services, and innovation. We have leveraged the skill of our financial advisors. We move from a financial approach to a holistic approach, and this allowed us to approach all kinds of clients. And we are very focused on private clients, between 500,000 euro and 5 million euro. And we work hard to strengthen the relationship between our clients and our financial advisors. So, before handing over to you for Q&A, just 1 minute on an article that published on Monday that some of you may have seen. And first of all, it was a misleading headline regarding the opportunity for Banca Generali to develop a business in Asia. Of course, let's say that the focus of the interview was on our advisory service and is my priority. I mean, I think that the Italian market is a sort of blue ocean. The asset gathering industry accounts for 10%, 12%, depending on inclusion or not of Intesa Private. So we are accelerating, and this is my priority. Of course, as head of this bank, I have to explore all the possibilities, and especially understanding what happens in the competition field. So, you know, in Asia, two players launched the initiative, and so we focused on the full comprehension of this initiative, and I said that the China market, of course, is the first economy in the world, so it would be stupid to say that it cannot be explored. But we did the same for the U.S. We studied the U.S. market for 3 years, and I haven't any branch over there. So I think it's just to be on the market and see what happens. For Switzerland, it's a different story. I think that when Switzerland will be included in a white list, there will be a strong disruption. At the moment, we are not any real deal, and I don't see any deal in the short term. But if I have to give a priority in terms of opportunity abroad, Switzerland's first. The focus is on asset gathering business in Italy. I'm sure that today we are a competitive edge that is really, really difficult to close for competitors, because it is based on very, very strong financial advisor networks, 10 years of hard job, and a very distinctive approach, wealth management, new products, technology. So it's very difficult to copy it. I know that some players launched something that sounds to me very similar, also in the presentation format. But let's say that one is the theory and one is the numbers. And our numbers are incredible and are very supported by this kind of new approach. It's a cultural change, it takes time. We have been working for 3 years on this topic, and I'm very optimistic and confident for 2017. Thank you, and over to you for the questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, everybody. Ciao, Gian Maria. A couple of questions. The first one is on personnel costs in Q4, 16 million down 5 million from 21 million in Q4. 15. Now, understood that there were some moving parts in RMs taking the agency mandate, but 5 million in one quarter is pretty a big decline in personnel costs. So I wonder if you can elaborate a bit more on what happened in the fourth quarter. The second and last question is on the 240 bps of increase in the core tier 1 in the capital ratios, despite total assets increasing by 37% and 80% payout. So if you can elaborate a bit on this capital optimization you mentioned during your speech, and if you have the number of RWA at the end of 2016. Thank you.
Okay. So let's start from the second question. Let's start from the project, CRM project, so capital risk credit risk mitigation, where we say that the measure, the first step was to be focused on recognizing the effect of credit risk mitigation techniques on the credit exposure protected by funds and by, let's say, managed portfolio. So we consider the underlying, the investment policy, and so we reduce, let's say, we increase the eligibility of part of these assets. In terms of risk-weighted adjusted, this initiative counted for 190 million, so the risk-weighted adjusted moved from 2.7 billion to 2.5 billion. So as a consequence, we have an increase of 110-120 on total capital ratio. And let's say that we have a second step project that regards the BG Fiduciaria managed portfolio, and I'm confident that we will free even more capital. That, let's say, we have an estimation that is around 50 basis points in terms of total capital ratio for the 2017. So we are reviewing our, let's say, our way to optimize RWA, especially looking to the lending activity, the underlying of funds and managed portfolio, and the investment policy of the single funds. The second question, you are right, the migration of top relationship manager was relevant, but it's just part of the story. Are 10 people that moved, and then there is another part of the story that is the incentive scheme of some relationship manager that we recruited in, let's say, at the end of 2015. Let's say at the beginning of 2015. So you have a double effect. First of all, the migration of 10 professionals, 10 RM to the financial advisor network, and the second, that in the same period of 2015, you had some incentive that one-off incentive. Okay.
Thanks.
The next question is from Matteo Ghilotti with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. The first question is on the payout, which in the fourth quarter was particularly high at 67%, so 67%, and even on a full year basis, 55 compared to a, let's say, a typical level of 50-53. If you can explain what happened here, and in particular, what are we going to see in 2017? Because clearly, we had in 2016 a 7% growth in management fees, but net commissions, excluding performance fees, were totally different, had a totally different evolution. So, what happened, and what is a reasonable level for 2017? I know that it's not easy because it depends on the mix of inflows and so on. But what are you using in your internal projections? And another question on the operating costs. First of all, on staff costs, you answered that the decrease, the reasons behind the decrease in the fourth quarter, but it's not clear to me if, let's say, this low level of the fourth quarter, what is the run rate of operating cost for 2017. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's start with payout ratio. You know that the last part of the last year was characterized by an acceleration in the recruitment activity. So great part of the story of the increase in payout is explained by the recruitment activity. I have a target in mind starting from 2017, so just already for this year, to have a total payout ratio excluding performance fee at 50%. So this is my target. That it means that including performance fee, we should be below 45%. So the number that you can see for 2016, I think that are biased by a very, very strong activity and acceleration over the last 3 months, 2 months of the year in terms of recruitment. Then I will leave the stage to Stefano for more clarification. In terms of operating costs, I consider the numbers for the last quarter the running one, the correct one, because we haven't any let's say one-off cost or incentive or dedicated incentivation. So of course, as I told you last time, we are focused on recruitment also of traditional private banker, but I think that on average the cost won't increase too much. And as a guidelines for total operating cost is in the range of 2%, 4%, where the most important contribution comes from IT investments and variable costs for the expansion, and while personal costs will be almost flat. And then there is the contribution to the fund for the resolution of the banking crisis. This is a question mark for my views. I mean, we estimate a reduction, a lower contribution, but you never know. So, Stefano, if you want to say a few more words on payout ratio, please.
And in the operating cost, I suppose. Yes, it's clear that operating cost posted the limited increase, 3.8%, that was fully in line with our guidance. And this was very positive, considering that in these operating costs are including 5.1 million euro of one-off items, the 1.5 LTP long-term incentive plan of a former CEO, 1.6 linked to the group reorganization and other non-core activity, and 2 million for IT project and support to the accelerated business expansion. We had more or less 2 million savings for sales personnel, as been said by Gianmaria, senior air relationship manager migrating to agent contract, a younger profile were higher. Consider that more or less 1.8 million euro for the incentivation scheme of the new relationship manager hire has been posted in the provision, because this sum of money will be paid only if the product mix will be favorable in 2017. So we have such different contabilization that was due to the fact that this sum of money are not still sure, because they are conditioned by next product mix that more favorable. And this is another positive effect, because notwithstanding this increase in provision, you'd have read that the total provision decreased a lot compared with the previous year.
And may I just follow up, because I'm not sure I understood. You said that you plan in 2017 to have a payout excluding performance fees of 50%, 50.
Yes.
Which means, if I'm not wrong, which means that with the normal evolution of assets and stable margins, that net commissions could grow more than 20%. I am, because if the payout goes from 55 to 50, well, this is boosting a lot. So I'm not sure of my calculation, but clearly such a sharp decrease in the payout has a meaningful impact on net fees. It seems too good to be true, frankly speaking, to squeeze the network in such a way, but I just wanted a clarification.
Yes, to explain better situation of payout, the ordinary payout, so the sum that we paid according to the contractual agreement, remain exactly the same in 2015 and 2016, is 33.9%. Then we have a difference of the extraordinary compensation and payout due to the recruitment and incentive scheme. It's clear that when the net inflows from recruitment and sales network is very strong, it's clear that the extraordinary components increase. So we have an increase of extraordinary compensation for incentivation for recruitment and for new sales that climbed from 13% to 15%, more or less 1.7 percentage in addition. And so in our point of view, the payout, the ordinary payout, will be, remain exactly the same. It's clear that it will depends by the product mix. It's clear that, for instance, insurance product had a different payout ratio, but more or less we don't expect that this will climb in the next year. The other payout, the extraordinary payout, will depend by the rhythm of growth. It's clear that we expect and we would like to have these strong components because it would mean that our sales network has been really successful. But it's clear that the difference in payout ratio is explained by this factor. Consider that in 2015 the total payout ratio was 53.6%, in 2014 53.8%. So at the total year, this year we have posted an exceptional growth. We have a double growth if compared with two years ago, and it's clear this is the effect of the extraordinary growth in terms of recruitment and existing network.
Okay, so it's not true that your target is to reduce it to 50%.
No,
I misunderstood.
No, but just to explain better, because let's say that the target of 50% is with, let's say, a growth, external growth and organic growth in line with our estimation forecast of, say, 3 to 4 billion euro. Of course, if we see an acceleration of inflows, both from recruitment or existing sales force, the number will be higher, and then we are reviewing some logic of payout ratio, in particular on traditional life insurance product that should help us to lower a bit the payout ratio. So let's say that with a normal inflows, we will be very close to 50%, very close to. Of course, and it is not just a question of an acceleration, an increase of total assets and management recurring fee, but is due in part also rethinking of some payout ratio rules.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I come back a little bit on this item just to understand what are the underlying assumptions on your net inflows about the component coming from recruitment, and if the still strong we have seen very strong net inflows in January, and the indications you gave about very strong, even higher in February, is still driven by significant activity you performed last year in terms of new hiring, and if that will spill over the effect on the payout you were mentioning earlier, so that maybe the first part of this year may see some still higher payout due to the strong recruitment activity, and then eventually leveling off afterwards. Then the second question is on the tax rate. It was close to 14% in the last quarter. I know on a quarter basis it doesn't make a lot of sense, but if you can give us an idea of what's the tax rate in your view in the coming years. And and finally, on the introduction of the MiFID II, was wondering if the new schemes, the advisory, etc., will change significantly also the payout system for the network, and if you have any broad comment on how it may affect also the commissions in general. Thank you.
Thank you, too. So let's say that the numbers, January and February were... February is a very strong month, and this is due to some, recruitment that we did in at the end of 2015 and 2016. And I cannot see any strong impact on the payout ratio honestly speaking. We recruited three guys, a team, as a relationship manager, and the results in February are influenced by their activities. And so I don't think so. We will see. And of course, I have a very moderate, prudent view on 2017, because in my numbers there is a progressive resolution of the banking crisis. So in my mind, the sector cannot grow 30 billion per year. And in relative terms, I'm sure to overperformance the market, but I mean, I think that part of the story is due to the crisis. So in my mind, there will be a sort of deceleration of the inflows in at least in the second part of the year. And while I think that in our case there will be a deceleration, a possible deceleration in inflows, but a constant growth in the wrappers. So the mix would be probably even better. And MiFID, for my knowledge, I'm spending a lot of time, investing a lot of time on this topic. And as you know, we are trying to understand the what is the aim of the watchdog. I mean, my idea is to provide protection to small investors, and so the transparency, that this is the single topic that is not hasn't yet have any answer. It could be the possible game changer. You know, if you are obliged to give full transparency or full cost would be one thing. If more probably you give a good transparency, a clear transparency of the cost of the distribution, exposed cost of distribution and ex ante cost of production, I think that nothing will change dramatically. So my view, for my knowledge today, the impact on profitability will be negligible, and the way we are paying out, the remuneration of our financial advisor won't change. What can change is that we are widening the opportunity, because introducing new way to charge the client, so fee only approach, half rebate and half fee on top, will give more opportunities to define with the clients the best approach. So in the base case scenario, we will have some more opportunities to approach the clients. The impact on total profitability will be low enough. And thanks to the introduction of wrappers, because wrappers give great transparency already now. You think of portfolio management line solution, have a full disclosure of cost, insurance wrapper as well. So the advisory service that we launched in the past are full disclosed. Depends on what the watchdog mean with full transparency. This is the topic on which we have to have some clarification. But I'm honestly speaking confident, because the aim of the watchdog is to protect the small investor from strong commercial activities from traditional banks or something like that. So it's not to destroy an industry. And we have an experience from RDR that fee-only, that equals to full transparency, is not the best way to protect the small investor. I cannot see, for my knowledge, any disruptive impact on payout approach, meaning commissioning, and on profitability. And for the tax rate, Stefano?
For the tax rate, as far as tax rate is concerned, it's clear that last year we posted a minimum of 14.7%. Last year is 15.7% due to the lower weight of Luxembourg profit compared with Italian legal entities. In our forecast, we think that 14.5 is the minimum, and our estimation is in a range between for this year 2017 between 15% and 18%.
Thank you.
Mr. Massa, there are no more questions registered this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you all, and next, see you on next. So hear about you from your next conference call. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.